Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
On a Thursday morning, May 16th, good to be with you, back with you live on a Thursday. Thanks so much to Vanessa Denha-Garmo for holding down the fort and Andrew Kruczek for all the great work they do together. Really appreciate it. It's so nice to have a pro's running things when I'm gone, and I know I can leave the show in confidence when I'm off on pilgrimage. Several of the couples that joined us for our fourth Roman holiday for couples at pilgrimage, this time to the Amalfi Coast in Rome, said, why aren't you doing your show live? Which I can, because we have the technology, as they say, and I have done the show many times before from Rome and also from the Holy Land. The problem is, though, is obviously because of the commitment, the 2 hours, I do 1 hour locally and 1 hour nationally, you do have to break away. And you not only have to break away just for the time of the show, but you have to break away for show prep. Because the show doesn't just magically happen. I have to sit down and talk with my producer. We go over the rundown. We look at background information. If there's a book that I have to review, I have to have the book with me and review it and look over the notes and whatnot. So even though technology-wise, it's not that difficult anymore, and EWTN, especially in Rome, they have a beautiful office that they allow me to use. So the situation can be done. But when you're leading a pilgrimage, it's really important to be there with the pilgrims as much as possible. Now, sometimes I've done the show when I've been co-hosting a pilgrimage with Steve Ray, which works because Steve is leading the group, and then I can feel confident. I just like to be with the people, and also I learn so much on pilgrimage. Every time I go to Rome or to the Holy Land, I find out something new about our faith, about the history of the church. It helps me not only in my relationship with God, but also in being, hopefully, God willing, a better talk show host, bringing the faith to you on a regular basis. I need to go on pilgrimage. And one of the reasons I go on pilgrimage is it's how I get my God groove back, so to speak. I was just writing to one of my friends this morning. She says, how you doing? How'd it go? And I just said it was incredible. The people were amazing. We had 13 couples from around the country, from Pennsylvania, from New York, from Virginia, from Michigan, from Texas, from Ohio, from South Carolina. It was just beautiful. All from different walks of life, different age groups. We had young couples. We had couples who've been married 50-plus years. And people immediately bonded. And all the folks are asking, well, aren't we going to exchange emails? And we're working on that right now. But it was such a great week. It's actually 9 days. Very powerful. We had an amazing spiritual director, Father Brian Taylor, who was from the Archdiocese of New York. He's based in Rome. He was actually our spiritual director in November, and he's going to be doing that again for the Wine and Shrine trip with Kelly Walquist. He's a great homilist. He's a canon lawyer studying for yet another degree in Rome and generously donates his time for the pilgrims. And this is how God works. There's so many mini miracles that happen and things that happen on a pilgrimage, because when you open yourself up to God, He just reveals himself all over the place. So the last night was Monday night, and we had a beautiful dinner along the old Appian Way at one of our favorite restaurants. And Father, of course, came with us, and we gave him a little gift and thanked him and said goodbye. That was the actual anniversary of his ordination as a priest. And he said, had I not been with you, I couldn't be with my family who was back home and couldn't make it in for the anniversary celebration. He said, I would have been celebrating all by myself. And he said, God provided a beautiful family of brothers and sisters in Christ to help celebrate my ordination. Of course, that was a tearjerker. And then when we were having Mass in the beautiful Church of St. Andrews, we have a picture of the group gathered in front of the famous staircase of St. Andrews in Amalfi. Father, who is just brilliant and always does his homework, it gives this homily that totally, I mean, all of his homilies are great, and I recorded several, and I'll be sharing with them with you over the next week or so. He talks about the fact that on the very day, May 8th, that we had Mass at St. Andrews, that was the actual anniversary. 700 years ago that day, St. Andrew's remains were brought over from Greece, where he was martyred, to the church where we were having Mass, to St. Andrew's on the Amalfi Coast. It is his tomb. And we're like, what? And everybody came up to me and Deacon Dom and said, did you guys plan this? No, sorry. God did. We had no idea. And I said to Father, I said, did I miss something in the Magnificat? Did I not see it? Blah, blah, blah. He says, oh, no. I said, then how do you know? He says, oh, I read a whole book on the history of St. Andrews and Amalfi. I'm like, of course you did. So anyway, it was incredible. And I just want to encourage you, if you haven't done a pilgrimage, whether it be down to Birmingham, Alabama, to our beautiful headquarters or the shrine, or maybe to your own local basilica or cathedral, make an effort to do that. It doesn't have to be overseas if you can't get there, but there's so many opportunities. For example, I was just talking to my producer, Andrew. We're doing a one-day pilgrimage in the Archdiocese of Detroit to several of the beautiful churches. We're going to be looking at Blessed Father Solanus Casey and some of the other great churches that we have in the city. And it's one day, and it's a mini retreat. And I guarantee you, if you do something like that, even in your own backyard, you will grow in your faith, you will learn something new. And that's a whole purpose for pilgrimage. So anyway, good to be back. I'll be sharing more bits and pieces as we go along. Coming up on the show today, right after the news, and there's a ton of news this morning. Trent Horn, apologist, of course, author and speaker with the wonderful ministry Catholic Answers, their program broadcast live every day here at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. He has a new book out, Counterfeit Christ, Finding the Real Jesus Among the Impostors. He joins us at 15 minutes past the hour. Then I'm very excited to have Mary Carroll on the program. Mary is with the Catholic Women's Conference of Northeastern Pennsylvania, the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania, where my husband, Deacon Dom, was born and raised and went to school, went to Scranton Prep and then on to Penn State University. Both of us will be in town in June for their beautiful conference. So excited about this, especially to go to Dom's hometown. He'll be coming with me. Mary will be joining us. Beautiful conference, their second annual last year, their first conference in the Diocese of Scranton. They had 700 women. That's a pretty big deal. So Mary will be joining us to give us lots of great information, and I hope you can stay tuned for the entire program. Again, good to be back with you. Oh, one more thing. Another God moment. First, many of you were asking me who the author was that we had the hour-long interview with yesterday. You caught bits and pieces of it. Stephen Auth, A-U-T-H, Missionary of Wall Street. Powerful book published by Sophia Press. You can find it at the EWTN Religious Catalog. Again, that is A Missionary of Wall Street. He spent the entire hour with us, and I sat down with him before I left for Italy. And guess who I met in Rome in person? Stephen and his wife. I'm not kidding. What were the chances of him being in Italy the same time we were there? He was actually spending a couple of days just north of where we were for the first part of our trip in the Amalfi Coast, and we were going back and forth texting and emailing and trying to get together, and we were both there, but it was just too crazy. And then he was going to Rome, and I said, well, where are you staying? And he said, well, right around the Vatican. I said, so are we. And so we met in the lobby bar for a glass of wine, and I met his beautiful wife and just shared stories and met him in person. So all these little things that happen that God arranges. He's a great God of detail. Anyway, I digress. Right now, we have a lot of news. 8 minutes past the hour already. Let's see what's happening in and around the world on a Thursday morning, May 16th. Big headlines all over the place about the story out of Alabama. By signing a pro-life measure last night, the governor of Alabama, Kay Ivey, ushering in, as Mike Bauer reports, a latest challenge to Roe v. Wade.
That Alabama law makes it a crime for doctors to perform abortions at any stage of a pregnancy unless a woman's life is threatened. And the law makes no exceptions for victims of rape or incest. The ACLU and Planned Parenthood have already said they'll file lawsuits arguing the law is unconstitutional. They're expected to ask federal district courts for a preliminary injunction, and U.S. district judges routinely block anti-abortion laws from taking effect while litigation is underway. As for now, abortion is indeed still legal in Alabama, and if approved by the courts, this new law would not go into effect for at least 6 months.
Representative Terry Collins, one of the bill's sponsors, saying she wants the U.S. Supreme Court to make a decision on the defining question in the Roe v. Wade issue. That was one of two decisions, by the way, which legalized abortion through 9 months of pregnancy.
Is the baby in a womb a person? And we believe technology and science shows that it is.
In her statement announcing her decision to sign the measure, the governor there explaining the bill was approved by overwhelming majorities in both chambers of her state's legislature, and she added that many Americans, herself included, disagreed when Roe v. Wade was handed down in 1973. The sponsors of the measure, she says, believe it's time once again for the U.S. Supreme Court to revisit the important matter and they believe this act may bring about the best opportunity for this to occur. And she said she wanted to commend the bill's sponsors, Representative Terry Collins and Senator Clyde Chambliss, for their strong leadership on the important issue. The ACLU and a Cleveland abortion clinic have filed a lawsuit seeking to overturn the pro-life law signed by the governor of Ohio to ban abortions after an unborn baby's heartbeat begins. That measure prohibiting abortions after a baby's heartbeat is detectable about 6 weeks of pregnancy. Because many women do not even know they are pregnant at the early stage, the legislation could protect almost all unborn babies in Ohio if it goes into effect. The governor is signing the measure despite threats by the American Civil Liberties Union to challenge it in court. In other news this morning, the Archdiocese of Detroit, and by the way, there's a big story on this on the Catholic News Agency and Church Pop, two of our news outlets, the AOD announcing it will no longer hold required sporting events on Sundays in an effort to refocus a day on prayer, family, and rest. In a reflection on his 2016 pastoral letter, Unleash the Gospel, the Archbishop, Alan Vigneron, issuing a pastoral note yesterday emphasizing the importance of the Lord's Day. He said Sunday is ultimately a time for faith, family, and rest, announcing that Catholic grade in high schools in the Archdiocese will cease sports practices and games on this day. He said Sunday is a day set apart for the Lord, for family, and for works of mercy. In our time, Sunday has slowly lost its pride of place. In the Archdiocese, we are committed to setting aside the day as much as possible for God-centered pursuits. In shifting away from the hustle of requiring sports activities on Sunday, we'll reclaim the holy day and create more time for families to choose activities that prioritize time spent with each other and the Lord. Pope Francis reminding Catholics yesterday at the Wednesday audience about the presence of evil in the world, as Devin Watkins explains his message centering on the Lord's Prayer.
La preghiera cristiana non chiude gli occhi sulla vita.
Christian prayer does not close its eyes on life, said Pope Francis. It is a filial prayer, not an infantile one. The Holy Father made those remarks in the catechesis portion of his weekly general audience. Reflecting on the final petition of the Lord's Prayer, he said Jesus invites us to ask God to deliver us from evil because life is fraught with difficulty. Pope Francis reflected at length on the presence of evil in the world.
I libri di storia sono il desolante catalogo di quanto la nostra.
History books, he said, are a bleak catalog of how our existence in this world has often been a failed adventure. He said there is a mysterious evil which is surely not the work of God, but which silently penetrates the folds of history. But, the Pope noted, the person who prays is not blind and sees clearly that evil is in contradiction with the mystery of God.
L'ultimo grido del Padre Nostro è scagliato contro questo male.
The last cry of the Our Father is hurled against this evil, he said, and covers its full range. This includes mourning for loved ones lost, the suffering of innocence, slavery, exploitation, and the cries of children. The Pope said the Lord's Prayer is like a symphony that seeks to be fulfilled in each of us. Pope Francis said Jesus' experience of death on the cross fulfilled the prayer he taught his disciples, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. No matter how much we are subjected to wickedness, he said, Jesus will be at our side to save us.
Così la preghiera di Gesù ci lascia la più preziosa delle eredità.
Jesus' prayer leaves us the most precious inheritance, he said, the presence of the Son of God who delivers us from evil. Peace, Pope Francis concluded, flows from Jesus' forgiveness on the cross and is stronger than any evil.
Questa è la nostra speranza.
This, he said, is our hope. I'm Devin Watkins.
Pope Francis, meanwhile, says he's in full support of talks between Jewish and Catholic officials, meeting with an international group dedicated to communication between Jews and Catholics and calling the dialogue a better way to understand each other. While speaking in St. Peter's Square, also at the audience yesterday, the Holy Father telling the International Catholic Jewish Liaison Committee, he encourages members to work together to build not only tolerance, but also respect between religions. Six priests are listed on search warrants connected with police raids at multiple Dallas Catholic diocesan offices. Bishop Edward J. Burns says he's confident the diocese has been properly handling the sexual abuse controversy.
And in being confident, it's an opportunity for me to say, go ahead, search. If you really think that there's something more, then look. And if you want to look at it closer, then take it.
A police spokesperson saying yesterday's raids are connected with sex abuse allegations against Father Edmundo Paredes, but declined to release the names of other priests that may be involved. The 22nd season premiere of the beloved PBS children's show Arthur earning raves and criticism at the same time. The episode, Mr. Ratburn and the Someone Special, featuring Arthur's third grade teacher coming out as homosexual and marrying another male character. Many fans of the show took to Twitter to offer their approval, especially from gay rights organizations. However, many conservatives, including concerned Christian groups, criticizing the storyline in a show watched by so many children. For example, evangelist Franklin Graham, writing on a Facebook post, the PBS series is clearly promoting the LGBTQ agenda. In other news this morning, Senator Lindsey Graham introducing a measure to address what he calls a horrible situation at the border. In a Capitol briefing yesterday, the South Carolina Republican saying there are problems with the U.S. asylum system.
And under our law, you're entitled to a hearing. It could take 3 or 4 years before your hearing is scheduled. So word is out on the street, if you apply for asylum, you're going to be let loose in the country.
Graham arguing the system makes it way too easy for migrants to get into and remain in the U.S., saying the system actually gives migrants and smugglers incentives to plot journeys to the country. Graham also noting he continues to support comprehensive immigration reforms. He chairs the Senate Judiciary Committee. President Trump honoring fallen law enforcement officers.
We come together to pay tribute to the American peace officers who made supreme sacrifice.
Speaking at the annual National Peace Officers Memorial Service at the Capitol yesterday, the president calling it a sacred commemoration, offering the nation's thoughts and prayers for those who have been killed in the line of duty. Baltimore County officials holding a severe storm prep exercise yesterday featuring a hypothetical scenario involving flooding from a Category 1 or 2 hurricane. County Exec Johnny Olszewski says any severe storm, however, can lead to a big emergency situation.
Last year taught us it doesn't take a hurricane to have disasters. And just 10 inches in Catonsville with a slow-moving pressure system really transformed and caused unprecedented flooding and ravaged many of our neighborhoods.
Emergency management officials say all county residents in that area should have an emergency plan in place, especially those living along the coast. And finally, in our news segment at 17 minutes past the hour, on a Thursday morning, May 16th, Lisa Carter explains the state of Texas on the verge of raising the legal smoking age to 21.
You currently have to be at least 18 years old to buy tobacco products in Texas. The state Senate recently approved a bill to raise the smoking age in Texas to 21, and on Tuesday, the House passed a preliminary version of the bill. A final version still has to be approved by the Senate and is expected to pass. The new bill will also apply to e-cigarettes. Members of the military stationed in Texas would be exempt from the new smoking law.
It is just about 18 minutes past the hour now. Hope your Thursday is going well. May 16th, 2019. Good to be back with you live. Coming up next, you know him, you love him from Catholic Answers. He has a brand new book out, an important one in our time when everybody says they know what Jesus means when he says this, that, or the other thing. Really? I don't think so. Trent explains the book is Counterfeit Christ, Finding the Real Jesus Among All Those Imposters. Phone lines are open, 877-573-7825. Again, 877-573-7825. It's Catholic Connection, a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. We'll be right back on a Thursday.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. I want to announce that Steve Ray and I will be going on pilgrimage to the great land of Poland, August 21st to August 30th.
We're going to follow John Paul II, Maria Faustina and the Divine Mercy, and Maximilian Kolbe. We're even going to visit Auschwitz and see the place where Maximilian Kolbe gave his life in the cell there.
People can get more information at AveMariaRadio.net. And where else, Steve?
CatholicConvert.com. Click on the big pilgrimage banner or call 866-468-1420.
This month, you can bless Catholic mothers struggling to care for their families in developing countries. They spend hours collecting drinking water from rivers and often unsafe sources. With your support, Cross Catholic Outreach provides these women and their children with access to clean, safe water. Lift the poor's burdens, protect their health, and restore their hope. Call Cross Catholic Outreach at 888-766-2426 or visit crosscatholic.org/Ave Maria.
Join today's discussion and engage with producers on the Ave Maria Radio Facebook and Twitter accounts at Ave Maria Radio. Respond to interviews and learn who's coming up on Crest in the Afternoon, Catholic Connection, and other Ave Maria Radio programs. Make it easier by downloading the Ave Maria app on your smart devices. Then just tap on the Facebook and Twitter icons to get plugged in on the things that matter most. That's the Ave Maria Radio app or at Ave Maria Radio. Build the church. Bless the nations.
Having a beautiful Thursday morning, moving through the Marian month of May. Phone lines are open to speak with Trent Horn, Catholic apologist, author, speaker, known for his great work at Catholic Answers, his books, and beyond. 877-573-7825. You can find the book at our religious catalog as well as the Catholic Answers shop. Go to shop.catholic.com. Counterfeit Christ, finding the real Jesus among the imposters. Trent, thanks for joining us again. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So what prompted you to sit down and write this book?
Well, I had different materials on the person of Jesus for a while, but I noticed there wasn't a single book that explained really all the false conceptions of Jesus that are out there, ones you find among atheists, non-religious, and even in other religions. So that's why I sat down with our editor at Catholic Answers and said, why don't we put together a book that helps people defend who the real Jesus is by exposing all of these different counterfeits.
All right, so what are some of the counterfeits?
Well, there's a lot of them. So you have, of course, atheists who deny that Jesus is God, and some of them even deny that he was even man and said he never existed. The other counterfeits really deny the divinity of Christ, either non-religious people who think Jesus was just a good teacher, other religions that say Jesus was just a rabbi or a prophet, and even quasi-Christian sects that say Jesus is kind of divine, like Jehovah's Witnesses, but he's not the one true God. And so I go through and show how Scripture and history really refute those notions.
And really it gets back to that question of who do you say that I am, right?
Right, when you go back to Matthew chapter 16. In fact, right. At the end of my book, I return to that that episode in Matthew's gospel where, you know, it's easy. You see the apostles, Jesus says, who do people say that I am? And the apostles are all quick to gossip about what other people think Jesus is. Some say Elijah, others say a prophet. Then Jesus turns to them and says, but who do you say that I am? And they all clam up because they don't want to get the wrong answer. But Peter, moved by the Holy Spirit, gives the right answer. So this book is really about equipping people to have that right answer.
Talking with Trent Horn about his latest book from our friends at Catholic Answers, A Counterfeit Christ, Finding the Real Jesus Among the Imposters. I love the cover. I love that image of Jesus, which is, I'm assuming it's Jesus, a teacher, correct?
Yes, it's one of those icons. And
yeah.
Each of the, what we have is all of that same icon,
right,
of Jesus with superimposed behind,
backgrounds. Yeah.
Backgrounds that are clues to the different counterfeits. So we have dollar bills for the prosperity gospel, Jesus, popular among some Pentecostal Christians. We have the rainbow flag for the gay affirming Jesus who doesn't judge anyone. And so our cover artists did a really good job on this.
Yeah, and then you have the one with the politics, with the symbols of the different parties behind it, which I think is interesting, too. I think right now, with all the discussion for the election next year, we're seeing people say, well, you know, it's okay to do this, it's okay, Jesus would be okay with this. And even certain, you know, pastors, not Catholic, but there are many out there, some priests are saying some things that are, and even some bishops in some parts of the world that aren't, you know, Orthodox, but trying to make Jesus, again, as this person, this God who accepts everything and anyone, no matter what you do, and that there's no cause or reason for change.
Right. And so in my book, I also talk about the counterfeit Christs that do emerge in politics, specifically when people say that Jesus would demand we hold a certain view on a matter that involves prudential judgment, on a matter that has not been definitively revealed by the church that Christ founded. But also, you're right that many people say that Jesus just wouldn't judge anyone, and that comes from a very sentimental 21st century attitude. that Jesus was considered a friend of sinners in the ancient world, not because he just didn't care what sinners did, but because he went out and sought them and sought conversion for their sakes when many other religious authorities would have ignored them.
Right. He wanted to lead them to a better life, just like he did with the woman at the well, the adulterous woman. He said to her, go and sin no more.
Right. That he came forward that when others wanted to simply execute her and carry out a sentence or a punishment, Jesus wanted to give her the opportunity for conversion and repentance. That's why in Mark chapter 2, when the Pharisees were critiquing Jesus because he spent time with sinners, he reminded them that the healthy do not need a physician, but the sick do. I didn't come to call the righteous, I came to call sinners.
Yeah. More with Trent Horn, his new book, Counterfeit Christ, Finding the Real Jesus Among the Imposters, from our friends at Catholic Answers, also finding it at our religious catalog. If you have a question, 877-573-7825. A great book to have in general, but also for all the debates out there that are going on now as to what Christ and the church, the overall church, supposedly supports or doesn't support. We'll be right back.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to
a
priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are
committed. As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I want to welcome you, if you're not familiar, with the wonderful world of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What will America become if it makes it impossible for the Holy Spirit to work here because of untruth and self-indulgence and paganism? This is not just a nice discussion of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because I'm going to discuss what happens when people make it impossible to be prudent, just, or honest, or brave, or courageous, or reverent? When people make that impossible, what a terrible thing they do not only to themselves, but to our society.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Mother Angelica's classic talks on heaven have long been an EWTN family favorite. Now you can have Mother's beloved teachings at your fingertips with What is Heaven?
I got to get you to the place you want to think of the glory that is to come, the absolute joy.
What is Heaven by Mother Angelica, now available for the first time in print. Visit EWTNRC.com or call 1-800-854-6316.
Who do you say that I am? That was a question that was asked at Caesarea Philippi, north of Nazareth. Been there many times. On this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Trent Horn, his new book is Finding the Real Jesus Among the Imposters, from our friends at Catholic Answers, 877-573-7825. And Trent, one of the issues that you tackle in this book was certainly is controversial, to say the least, and that's the issue of socialism, correct?
Yes, you have a lot of people who will say that Jesus preached socialism or that we ought to adopt socialism. I talk in the beginning of that chapter how at Stanford University, in one of their dining halls, they have a image of Da Vinci's Last Supper, but it's redone to honor Latino heroes, so different famous figures in Latino history. And the one who was picked to represent Jesus in the Latino Last Supper was Che Guevara, the violent socialist revolutionary. And people try to say he and Jesus are basically the same thing. And what I show in this chapter is Jesus, of course, cared for the poor and called for us to care for the poor, but that does not mean that Jesus called for us to abandon private property and give everything that we have to a central planning authority. Jesus never says for anyone to do that.
Right, and also we know that further on in the New Testament we hear about money, and that it's the love of money that is the root of all evil, not money or capitalism, so to speak.
That's right. That the first, I have an article at Catholic Answers Magazine online that just came up today talking about the first Christians. The Book of Acts says that they lived communally, and they did because they were a persecuted sect who had to rely on one another. But the Book of Acts never requires Christians to give up all of their property. It never requires a tithe. It does require generosity. That's why in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he asked for them to give to help the Christians in Judea, but he asked for them to do so voluntarily because, quote, God loves a cheerful giver. In fact, right. even when you go to Jesus to show that he didn't believe everyone had to give up their wealth, he challenged some people to go above the minimum, like the rich young man. But when he met the tax collector Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus promised to give up half of what he owned to help the poor. Like, even if you're rich, if you give up half, you can still be a rich person. Ask Bill Gates. But Jesus didn't say, you know, oh, half isn't good enough. Instead, he said, today salvation has come to this house.
We're talking with apologist, author, and speaker Trent Horn about his new book, which is Finding the Real Jesus Among the Imposters, Counterfeit Christ, Finding the Real Jesus Among the Imposters. You can find it at the Catholic Answers bookstore, as well as our EWTN religious catalog. If you have a question, 877-573-7825. Speaking from my own personal experience and my own reversion to the faith, I think we all like to make Jesus into what we think is acceptable for us. Well, Jesus really wouldn't want me to do that, or Jesus wouldn't expect this, or there would be this exception. I think at some levels, any of us who are honest with ourselves and our own journey can see ourselves in this. Don't you think, Trent?
Sure, and it's okay to ask, what does Jesus want me to do? What's not okay is to turn Jesus into a ventriloquist dummy so that we get him to justify everything that we want to do. So I remember researching for the book the phrase, what would Jesus do? That comes from actually a 19th century novel about a town that took it very seriously and tried to live their lives according to what would Jesus do. So if he ran the local newspaper, he wouldn't have tobacco ads in it and things like that. And so we should always ask that, but to seek what would Jesus want us to do, we shouldn't necessarily go to our inclinations. We should say, well, let's look in Scripture. What does Jesus tell me to do in the Word of God? What has Jesus revealed to us in the church that he's established? And that helps to properly form our conscience.
So what do we do in this world now where there are a lot of leaders in both Catholic and Protestant circles who are saying things that are very contrary to the faith and heretical in some sense, and it's very confusing. So how can we understand truly who Jesus is in our lives and what the church says about him?
Well, I think what's important is to always stay close to Jesus in prayer. In John 15, Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So
right.
First and foremost, having an active prayer life, going to Mass, daily Mass when possible, to have that close relationship to Jesus in the Eucharist that he gave us, and then growing in that relationship by reading Scripture, by reading the Catechism, so we know the faith and morals that are to be taught to us, and then also to build up and edify our faith with good resources from groups like Catholic Answers or EWTN that answer these questions that people put forward that try to twist who the real Jesus is and replace him with one of these counterfeits.
So you don't shy away, as we mentioned, Trent, from the controversy and the issues that make headlines. We talked about socialism, which is a big topic right now, especially with the presidential election right around the corner. And then also the whole issue regarding the LGBTQ agenda. You have that one image of Christ with the rainbow flag behind it. What did you cover in that area of the book? Explain to our listeners.
Of course. Well, I cover the small minority of people who argue by trying to twist the biblical text saying that Jesus affirmed homosexuality, which is nonsense. He didn't do anything of that kind. But I also address the much larger common position, which is, well, Jesus never condemned homosexuality, so homosexual behavior must not be immoral. But that's a bad argument because Jesus never condemns child sacrifice or incest. Yet, of course, those things are immoral. Jesus upheld the universal moral teachings of the Old Testament law. And that Jesus would not say, oh, well, as long as you're in a consensual relationship between adults, I don't care. Jesus certainly cared about that because he condemned remarriage after divorce, even when many of his Jewish contemporaries allowed for that. So I show in the book that if Jesus would not allow for that kind of consensual sexual behavior that violates God's moral law, he wouldn't approve of other behaviors that violate that same law today.
What kind of feedback have you been getting from the book?
So far, very positive. People have said that the book is easy to read, and it's wide-ranging and really helps them understand all of these different areas. That when I write these books, I try very hard to get in the head of the person who's reading it to know, look, you don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to be an apologetics junkie. I just want to sit down with you like I'm sitting across from you and explain, here's who Jesus is. Here are these counterfeits, these false Jesuses and other religions, non-religious people. But here's why we can know those counterfeits are imposters, because here's what Scripture says. Here's what the Catechism says. Here's what we know from history and from sound academic scholarship. And here are the tools you can use to have in your conversations to evangelize and share the real Jesus with other people.
And see, I love this because you bring it all together, Trent, in one resource. A lot of folks want to defend the faith and they want to know how to respond, especially to family members or friends who are challenging us. And it's nice to have everything in one particular area. Not that we shouldn't look around and look at the Catechism, as you mentioned, but if you pull it together in one resource, I find that very, very helpful for people.
Absolutely. And that's why this resource covers the non-religious, you know, people who say, oh, Jesus is my buddy and my friend, or the skeptics who say, look at what in universities teach that we can't know if the Gospels are reliable or not. But then fast forward, you might have a Muslim friend or a Jewish friend who says, well, no, Jesus is just a prophet. He never claimed to be God. He never said, I'm God. Or a Mormon friend or a Jehovah's Witness who says Jesus is a God, a mighty God, not the true God. All different kinds of views. And you don't want to be caught flat-footed. So that's why I have easy references to Scripture and other arguments you can share with people when these topics come up.
Yeah, I mean the question, who do you say that I am? And also that question of Pilate, what is truth, right? I mean, just keeps coming up over and over and over again in our own lives, in the church, and in the world. So what's the best way to get the book, Trent?
Best way to get the book would be to go to shop.catholic.com. or to a Catholic bookstore near you, but I would recommend shop.catholic.com to get Counterfeit Christ.
All right, great job as always, Trent Horn, apologist, author, and speaker from Catholic Answers, of course, broadcast every night here at EWTN. Brand new book, Counterfeit Christ, Finding the Real Jesus Among the Imposters. We'll be right back on a Thursday morning edition of Catholic Connection. Stay tuned.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
John chapter 11, verses 21 to 26. This is the story of Lazarus. Lazarus has died. Lazarus is one of his best friends. Just before this passage, we hear the news that Martha and Mary send word to Jesus that the one you love is sick. And the next line in the scripture is, now because Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus, he stayed where he was. His friend's in need. He can heal. They've seen him heal before. And yet somehow, because he loves him, he stays. And Lazarus dies. And then Jesus shows up 3 days later and is greeted by Martha and Mary, who confront him with the words, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would never have died. Rather applicable for many of us in our lives. We ask the Lord to do one thing because we're certain it is what we think is best, when in fact he has something which far surpasses what we ask for. Challenge is, in waiting for that to happen, we go through very trying times, which oftentimes makes us wonder, does he really care?
Angels. Pop songs are written about them, pretty women are called them, and the popular imagination sees them as chubby little cherubs playing harps on clouds. I think bad art has ruined true devotion to the holy angels. They're actually fearsome, powerful creatures, and when they appear to people in the Bible, it's a life-changing, knee-knocking experience. Angels are God's messengers. Mortimer Adler said, angels are like statues in reverse. A statue is a body without a mind. An angel is a mind without a body. In the order of creation, angels sit between mankind and God. Pure spirits like God, but created like us. Next time you're at Mass, listen for the number of references to the angels. You'll be amazed. And you'll want to call upon your guardian angel, who waits for that call. It's why God made him. I'm Patrick Coffin of patrickcoffin.media. Be a saint. What else is there?
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
You know, maybe we need to ask ourselves, do we really know Jesus? Maybe another way to ask that would be, how familiar are you with the Gospels? When I was living in D.C., I was on the plane taking a late flight home, sitting next to a young girl. She was probably 16, 17. I had my collar on and we got talking, and she said, somehow in the course of the conversation, she acknowledged that she was running away from home and was in the midst of an awful lot of difficulties that were going on. Her story seemed to be remarkably akin to the story of the prodigal son, which we just heard this past Sunday at Mass, huh? And so I started to speak a little bit about that with her. And I said, you sound a little bit like the younger son in the story of the prodigal son. And she looked at me like I was from Mars. And I said, are you not familiar with the story of the prodigal son? And she says, no, never heard it. And I just looked at her and I says, oh my goodness, are you in for a wonderful evening?
Having a beautiful Thursday morning. It's a Thursday, May 16th, 2019. The phone number is 877-573-7825. Again, 877-573-7825. Having a hard time getting hold of Mary Carroll from the Diocese of Scranton, so we'll continue to work on that. In the meantime, I did want to share with you some of the thoughts on pilgrimage. Trent was talking about this brand new book that he's written on the counterfeit Christ, and he mentioned scripture. He mentioned staying close to solid Catholic sources such as Catholic Answers, EWTN, EWTN News, Ave Maria Radio, all of our great affiliates, all of that scripture, being in relationship with the Lord, the sacraments. One of the other ways, in addition to, let's say, going to a conference like the Catholic Women's Conference in June coming up in the Diocese of Scranton, where I'll be speaking, is the importance of maybe going on a pilgrimage, as we mentioned at the top of the hour. A conference can be considered a mini pilgrimage, as I mentioned, in the Archdiocese of Detroit on June 1st, and I'll be talking about this in my local hour. We're having a one-day pilgrimage. One day, where we're taking people to a number of our special places in the Archdiocese of Detroit, including the tomb of now Blessed Solanus Casey, who always said, thank God, ahead of time. These are the ways when you grow in faith and grow closer to Christ and the Church and the saints that you understand and you can answer the question very clearly and very quickly when Jesus asks, because he's asking all of us in that famous verse from Matthew 16, who do you say that I am? On the phone with me right now is Mary Carroll from the Diocese of Scranton. Got worried we couldn't find you there for a minute. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hello. Good morning, Teresa.
This is exciting, and I'm excited to go back to Scranton, PA. I'm there at least once a year with my husband because his family is there. This is your second Catholic Women's Conference, correct? Give us all the details.
Yes, and Teresa, 37 days and counting to
wow.
See you on our soil.
Awesome, awesome. So this is, give us a date and all the information before we talk about the idea behind it and whatnot.
June 22nd, Saturday, June 22nd, University of Scranton.
Which
in
is
the
right,
Byron Center.
Yep, right in the heart of downtown Scranton, correct?
Heart of downtown Scranton. Can't miss it. On
so
the hill.
What's the theme this year, Mary?
The conference is called Refresh Your Faith, and the theme this year is Come to the Well. Meet Jesus at the Well.
And give us a lineup in terms of what the day will look like before we kind of talk about the background and how this all came to be.
Well, shall I introduce our keynote speaker, Teresa?
Sure.
That would be you.
Ta-da!
So our keynote speaker, Teresa, will be speaking twice. The first part will be meeting Jesus at the well, embracing that personal encounter with Christ. And then this, when you come back in the afternoon, you'll be speaking about your book, Beyond Sunday and Becoming a 24/7 Catholic. And as you said, the women's hearts will be on fire by then, and how to take that out and live it beyond the conference.
Yeah, yeah. And having those mountaintop experiences, as I was just mentioning, going into this interview is really important. But then how do we apply it practically into our everyday lives?
Yes. So very excited. And I know when you come, you're just going to take our audience by storm. So,
well, from your lips to God's ears, it's all up to the Holy Spirit. And then I'm just kind of one of the crackpots that he uses to get his message across. But I'm excited about coming to the Diocese of Scranton. Obviously, my husband has all of his roots there, and I've been there so many times. A great area. I love coming to northeastern Pennsylvania to visit family. I try to get there in September for the Italian Festival, which is a hoot. But what I'm really glad about is that there's been a lot of issues in Pennsylvania with the Church, and I'm sure there's a lot of people struggling. And yet, Mary, for your first women's conference last year, you had close to 1,000 women.
We had 800 women, and we anticipate being over 1,000 this year. Yep. The buzz last year was so big, and this year already I ran into my parish priest, and I said, oh, we've got over 200 tickets sold. He goes, Mary Carol, you're going to be over 1,000. The buzz is on the street. So we're very excited, very excited. The more the merrier.
Amen.
They're hearing.
So yeah. how did all this get started? Who came up with the idea that you needed a women's conference? Because we have them in many dioceses around the country, but who was it that sparked the interest in having one in Scranton?
Well, we have a very interesting and wonderful group called Altus for Women, and there are two women that started that and developing parish women groups. And they came to me and said, you know, we really need a conference, and they asked me to chair it last year. And so that's really where it started. And you will hear when you come the Altus women and us uniting to really get the word out of our Lord to women in the diocese. And the Diocese of Scranton is very widespread. I'm going to say 13 counties, maybe 15 counties. So we go very deep. We call ourselves the Northeast Pennsylvania Conference.
Right,
because
right.
We're so widespread.
Yeah, so you're covering not only Scranton proper there at the city, but I imagine you're going into Wilkes-Barre and other areas as well.
Oh,
right?
How about the bus from Williamsport, two buses from Stroudsburg? Yes, they're coming.
Let's talk a little bit about what you think women are feeling right now, not only in Pennsylvania, but in the church. What is on your heart in terms of what the Lord's telling you about this?
I think the lay have to come to the table and really go back to our roots of faith. When we spend time with the Lord and enrich our faith, it just changes our lives, and the Catholic Church gives us that. I mean, you cannot walk away from the Eucharist. You just can't. And we've got to get that message out.
877-573-7825. If you have a question for Mary Carol from the Catholic Women's Conference of Northeastern Pennsylvania coming up on Saturday, June 22nd. I know the bishop is excited as well, correct?
Yes, and I love to mention, last year he walked in, and again, it was our first year, and I was standing in the back as he walked in, and he literally stopped, took a step back, and went, wow, I can feel the holiness in this room. It was just palpable, and that only got stronger and stronger as the day went. And the stories after of, I'm going to say, the healing miracles, so wonderful. So wonderful what happens in a day when you spend it with the Lord.
In terms of the actual day itself, there's going to be adoration as well, which I think is huge. And what other kind of activities will the women experience there at the conference?
So we have two other speakers, and one I think is very different, probably not a household name, is Jill Metz. And long story short, but I prayed last year to Mother Mary to say, give me a saint that's not too busy in heaven to help me out here. And the saint that was assigned was Saint Rose Venerini. And she is from Italy, and her mission was to call women to the faith and teach them how to pray. How perfect. Well, fast forward, do I get a call from a woman artist convert in Indiana who says, I don't know, but this saint, Saint Rose Venerini, I've been called to paint her. And when I Google her, your conference comes up. Well, the story be told, she painted the most magnificent painting that will be dedicated at the conference. And she will speak about her conversion. And that, it's just amazing. That'll be wonderful. And then we have Sister Mercy Marie from the Sisters of Life, and I don't if anyone's heard any of these sisters from the
they're
Sisters
fabulous.
Of Life.
Yeah, they're great.
I mean,
yeah.
The joy that comes across from them is just amazing.
Yeah, so. Well, to me, what is so, I think, important is, and this is why I go on pilgrimage, this is why I take people on pilgrimage, it's really important for us to understand the beauty and the depth and the roots of our Catholic faith. And there's a lot of pain out there right now, certainly, and there's issues that need to be addressed. But at the end of the day, Jesus is still Lord, and the church is still the church. And we have to remember, as you said at the beginning, Mary, that we have to come to the table here as a laity. We have to be able to come. We have to know our faith. We have to embrace it. We have to have that encounter with Christ.
Yeah. I tell you one, I think it's a beautiful story. Last year, after the conference, and I'm going to say 6-7 weeks after the conference, I'm in TJ Maxx, and a woman was stalking me, cut me off at the end of the aisle, and she said, "Did you chair the conference?" I said, "Yes." She said, "I have to tell you, my daughter died of a heroin addiction, and I died with her. The cross was just so heavy." And she said, "At Eucharistic Adoration, at your conference, his own is the musical group, and they have a song called Little Girl Arise." And she said, "They sang that song, and I arose. The cross was lifted. My daughter is okay. I am okay. I am living again, and Jesus is part of all of that." And that is just one of, I'm going to tell you 50 stories that we heard that happened that day. And there are more to come on June 22nd.
Yeah. Well, the website is CWCNEPA.com. Again, CWCNEPA.com for the second annual conference in the Diocese of Scranton, but it has a large outreach in that part of Pennsylvania. Again, CWCNEPA.com. Confession also, correct, Mary?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Huge.
Priest from our diocese, hear that. We need you to come.
Well, to me, I think one of the biggest benefits of having conferences, whether it's a men's conference, a women's conference, a couples conference, when you have the sacrament of reconciliation there, things happen. And one of the most encouraging things for me to see, whether I'm just attending, speaking, whatever, is people lined up for confession. And you find out, I know, someone who's involved in these types of things, people that haven't gone to receive that sacrament in years.
Years. Yep. And it's transforming. I agree with you 100%.
So
it's wonderful. Wow. Last year they were lined up, 20-30 women deep.
Yeah. Lives are changed. Mary, thank you for your dedication to doing this and for organizing this conference. We did have one in the Archdiocese of Detroit for many years, and I know what it's like to do one of these. I've been on that board, or was on that board for many years. So this is coming up the weekend of June 22nd. We also have Catholic Radio, of course, in the Diocese of Scranton. We have an affiliate there. CWCNEPA.com. CWCNEPA.com, and I'm so excited that Deacon Dom can take part in adoration with the bishop, being a Scranton boy and graduate of Scranton Prep, a wonderful Catholic school there in the Diocese of Scranton. CWCNEPA.com. Mary Carroll, who is behind this event along with a great team of ladies and working with the bishop and priests there to bring this event, confession, adoration, time together, a mountaintop experience. We come together, we celebrate, we get to know the Lord better, and then we take it to the streets. Amen, sister?
Amen. Hallelujah.
All right. All right. And we will be right back. Mary, thanks so much, and look forward, God willing, to seeing you, gosh, in just a couple of weeks. Again, this is the weekend of June 22nd. Looking forward to going back to my husband's hometown of Scranton, Pennsylvania. We'll be right back.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Fund. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Do you want an affordable healthcare option that enables you to protect your family and live your Catholic faith? CMF Curo is the Catholic healthcare ministry that works to bring health to the whole person, spirit, mind, and body. CMF Curo allows you to share health costs with other Christians and is more affordable than health insurance. go to MyCatholicHealthCare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthCare.com. CMF Curo. Healthcare. Fully alive.
It's practically an epidemic. 20% of Americans suffer from anxiety disorders, and millions more wrestle with worry and stress on a daily basis. For us as Christians, all that worry gets mixed up with a lot of guilt. How can we stop worrying and start living an anxiety-free life? I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and in my new book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, you'll learn how to respect how God made us and build new habits of thinking, communicating, and acting that will help set you free from worry. You can get your copy of Unworried and any of my other books at AveMariaRadio.net.
Fifty-four minutes past the hour. Tomorrow, honored to have Dr. Matthew Bunsen joining me. We're going to be taking a look at some of the developments from Rome. You may have heard this happened last week, and I remember hearing about it when I was there overseas. National Catholic Register has a great story on this in terms of helping us understand what happened. The Pope signing new Vatican norms to the Church's handling of sex abuse. They were issued on May 9th, so that was just last week, and Dr. Bunsen will be joining us a week later to take a look at the reaction and the fallout, what this means in terms of the practical sense, and he'll be joining us tomorrow and take your calls and your questions as well. And then hopefully I'll be able to share one of the very powerful homilies from Father Brian Taylor from the Archdiocese of New York, who served again as our spiritual director for our couples trip. And I shared one of the homilies this morning that he gave on Sunday when we were at the catacombs of St. Callistus, just outside of Rome. Very powerful, talking about the symbolism that we see in the walls of the catacombs, whether it's St. Sebastian or St. Callistus, particular images of the burial places of Christians that have gone before us. So we'll share that tomorrow. Look forward to talking with you. Good to be back. And again, don't forget, AveMariaRadio.net and EWTN.com. We'll talk to you tomorrow on a Friday. God bless.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruczek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.